Hi, I'm Chris Marie. I'm so glad you're listening. In conflict, do you ever walk on eggshells, avoid sharing your honest opinion, or even hesitate to say no? Well, no more. Susan and I created a Speak Up Kit just for you. It's an easy-to-use, proven step-by-step process to find your voice and reduce your stress. To learn more, go to thriveinc.com/speak up. That's www.thriveinc.com/speakup.
Welcome. I'm Susan Clark.
And I'm Chris Marie Campbell.
And today we're going to be talking about a few, making some references to some work we've talked about on the podcast before, and that we'll be talking a little bit about Jill Bolte Taylor and Whole Brain Living.
And we had two interviews with Jill Bolte Taylor, so you can find those. And we're also going to be talking about Joe Dispenza's work in one that we did a podcast, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, which is a book of his. But he's also done You Are the Placebo and many other. And we've been working with his work.
Yes. So,
and Jill's.
And the most recent book we've been reading of Joe Dispenza is the one about the supernatural.
Becoming Supernatural.
And that really plays into this conversation we want to have today. And partially this comes because I've just returned from being in recently, from being in Phoenix, Arizona, where I was re-engaging with my herd of people who are Equus coaches, as well as horses that are part of the herd down there at Big Sky Ranch in Phoenix. And I had a really powerful experience of teaming. And really, it came out of we were working with Jill Bolte Taylor's Whole Brain Living and also doing our Equus coaching work. And it was really quite profound how that work to me combined so effortlessly into some pretty magical moments.
I just want to give you listeners who haven't listened to our two interviews with Jill Bolte Taylor, I highly encourage you to. They're great. She's fabulous. Her main model is, and it's based on her, she's a neuroscientist and her life experience of having a stroke, that our brain has four different characters. And we show up often as one of these characters because we're operating from different parts of our brain. And there's the left brain and the right brain. So those are two hemispheres. But the left brain has more of a thinking, planning, moving forward. That's character one. That's on the left brain thinking side. But it's also got character two, which is really focused on our survival and our past and keeping us safe.
And can I also add
yes,
that left-sided part of our hemisphere is really where our ego exists. It's how we are defined as a unique individual. And it's the good and bad of the ego, as we're going to talk about more.
Yes. And then on the right side of the brain, there's character three, which is very sensory, in the moment, spontaneous, often playful. And then character four, which is more the thinking part of our brain, but it's in this right hemisphere. And it's our connection to the all, to the cosmos. Any sort of mystical experience probably is that you've experienced is probably accessing, you are accessing character four, that part of your brain.
Really, character four is not able to even distinguish or separate from anything. So it is sort of like it's in that expansive state. And if you read or listen to anything from Jill Bolte Taylor, she had this very advanced left brain
stroke.
No, oh, she had,
she's
a neuroscientist.
Smart.
She was a Jill Bolte Taylor. And when she had the stroke, that got completely cut off. So she was in that right hemisphere fully and completely without any reference to the other. And that's quite a story in and of itself. I won't tell that part of the story, but you should watch A Stroke of Insight.
Yeah, that's one of the most watched TED Talks. And so the whole idea is we can get identified in our culture with really our left brain, our character one and two. And they're really, they interpret the space between any two things, meaning that they're separate. So they have to survive and control the world around us in order to keep us safe.
So the in that left hemisphere, there's basically the external world outside of me and my internal world. And it's as though those, and there's a separation between those two things.
Which you might seem like, yeah, of course there is. But that's because we're mostly identified we're with our left hemisphere versus our connection to the right, whereas there's this cosmic flow and we're connected to the all. We don't often, or maybe you do, but many of us don't tap into that. So the left brain really feels like, hey, We are separate from the whole and we're no longer safe. And because life and separation from this cause, I just cut this my...
She's having a moment here where I think she was doing great with her left brain, but suddenly that right brain, hemisphere four, came into play and she's talking jumbly. But I think where she was going, but see, that's what it's like when you start to actually begin to... Our left brain will sort of put it down, like you're actually looking at some notes you made, which in some respects, our words, our language can separate us from this incredible experience we might be having in the energetic field. Now,
this might actually be better, yes, if you give your example rather than me trying from my character one to try to describe this cosmic flow, because I'm not connected to my character four.
I will talk a little bit about what happened for me in when I was in Phoenix working with the horses. There was this one teaming experience we had. And basically, there were four of us who were out in a large pasture with a horse in some obstacles. And our challenge was, without verbally communicating, to establish a way of working with the horse where we could get the horse moving and move through some of the obstacles.
And now this horse doesn't have any reins on it. You're just using your energy. You're not even touching it, right?
Right. Right. I mean, if you went up to it, you could touch it, but that was that. So when we started this process and we got the horse moving like really fast, like the horse had a lot of energy moving really rapidly. That actually felt great to me in the sense that I had a lot of energy. So I felt like, okay, this is good. We're moving and we were successful right away. But we also could see that the horse's energy was really high and actually didn't seem as... We wanted to sort of see if we could then bring it down. And what I realized is it really required, like at that point, I had been using my character one to sort of move the energy as we had as a team been doing that. But as we started to look at, we wanted to slow it down and do it differently. I realized that I wanted somebody else to go in and move the horse, to do what they wanted to do to move the horse. And I was like, I'm going to move way back here. Now, it could seem like I was separate, but as I moved way back there, and there was another one of my teammates that moved on the other side of the pasture, similar to where I was, this distant. And then there were two that were in closer, sort of beginning to figure out who was going to approach the horse first and see if they could move with more calmness, slowness. And I felt this connection, and I knew that even though I wasn't the one doing any of the direct going, meeting the horse, I was very connected to the horse, to my teammates. I could feel my energy was influencing and a part of this whole thing we were creating. And it was quite beautiful. This horse that had been racing around frantically just a few minutes earlier was very calmly taking steps, like one of the teammates had put an X on the ground where we wanted the horse to stand. And lo and behold, the horse walked in and stood on the X.
Really?
But we were,
wow.
And it was pretty almost cool. Magical. And as we were debriefing it, I had my experience of that. Like I felt like my character four whole was very much in touch with even my character one from that much distance. And they were working together, which was why I felt so connected to everything. And each person had, and each one of my teammates had a very similar experience.
Wow.
And I just thought that was such a profound experience of both collaboration and teaming, but also each of us as individuals in this team experience.
Yeah, connecting to the whole. I think I love your story. And I also can be in my left brain character one, like, wait a minute, like, how are you controlling the horse? Like trying to figure it out. So were you flapping your arm? Like, what are you physically doing? And I think what you're saying is your experience of character four is more this connection to the all and still mattering. I think so much our ego is that left brain character one and character two. I need to matter. I need to prove that I'm the one so that I'm safe or prove that something.
The manning value.
And
what's interesting is this comes up on teams all the time, especially in the business world and an executive team where you feel like you have to prove yourself. Like maybe it's a title or maybe it's
time with the CEO
or whatever. Like, and it's such a tricky balance because on one level, you need to have some ego to be willing to step up and lead an organization or let's take politics or whatever, those big statements. But boy, if you only have that left-sided part of your brain functioning, one, it's going to feel like so painful the minute anything goes wrong, or you're going to do really crazy things to keep feeding your ego, which really probably isn't that helpful. Yeah. And how can you actually work as a team if you're stuck in that side of it? And yet it's such a tricky thing to begin to allow the space to let your whole brain operate.
I think why it's hard, at least for me, I'll speak for me, because I can fall prey to, oh, I want to know that I matter. I want to know that I'm important. Like even when I'm coaching somebody, how they show up, well, that's a reflection of me and my coaching. And that's really not true, but I can get so focused on control and proving. And I think that left side of my brain, character one, two, is so worried about survival that it's very loud. Yeah. And my experience, my whatever experience I have of character four is not coming in like a freight train. It's what did you say? Are you saying anything? Yeah. And I think it's more actually my own, if I acknowledge, it's really more of a felt sense or a natural like, wow, I should consider this. And often my character one says, no, we need to do that. Ignores that sort of soft nudge. So that larger connection doesn't have the desperation that my survival brain.
Well, because
does.
That larger connection hasn't separated. It's just like, it's all.
Yeah.
It's in, that's the part that's difficult. Like in even beginning to understand this is if you, that, you know, this is where the Joe Dispenza idea comes into play. It's so tricky for us to imagine that there's like a quantum field or that we're not just these very dense physical beings. And that, and in his work, he sort of looks at it through chakras, and it's the lower chakras in the body and the, in our kind of drive to be
survive and create our species.
And that the idea being that if we can pull our energy into our more, into our upper chakras, heart chakra and higher, we begin to tap into this quantum field, which in my mind is just another way of thinking of character four.
Yeah. You know? I mean, one of the things in the Supernatural book, he talks about that when we can actually activate our heart center and above, we're much less selfish.
Yeah.
We're more interested and patient and like, how is this affecting work? And even the quantum field, he says, you know, people say, well, there is no God or whatever, higher power. And he said, what happens after an explosion? And people will say, disorder. And he goes, then why after the biggest explosion, the Big Bang, did the world create order? And so the whole idea of, I think it's a Faber, the golden mean, and there's a sequence that Faber, I can't quite get the right name. There is this thing in nature, the fractals, and they have a certain geometry. And he said, like, if we get out of the way, even in our own lives, there's this natural order that starts to be created. But we get in the way with our survival reactions, like,
and
no.
Our ego.
Yeah, that is the survival. Yes. Yeah, that ego part is that survival part that matter. I remember reading that and being, oh, that's really interesting how much I try to control things. And that's why even in ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics, and the 12 steps, admitted we were powerless, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of that power. That's the same organizing principle. And it really, like our brain waves, so you can even get into brainwave theory, our brain waves, when we're trying to control, they're very low frequency. When we move into surrender and then those appreciation, gratitude, we get a higher frequency. And the four is really this wholeness, which is that highest frequency of all.
And the tricky part is trying to get out of the good, bad duality of all that we're saying right now. Because probably anyone listening, I think a lot of people listening might be thinking of the character four. Oh, whoa. But if all you had was girl, watch that stroke of insight. As Jill Bolte-Taylor said, she was nowhere. Like,
you're not going to get anything done.
You're not going to get anything done. So the idea being that all of these characters are vital. And another way of putting it, they're all authentic. Yes, maybe.
Oh, now I think you slow down for that because people will often say, oh, this is a life coachy thing. Like, well, I'm going to help you connect to your authentic self. And Jill Bolte Taylor, each of these characters, character one, who's like driving, making things happen. Character two, who's worried about your survival in the past. Your spontaneous character three and your oneness character four, they're all your authentic self. They each have their own part to play and to be respected.
Yes. And so, you know, the idea, and that's what was so beautiful about this teaming experience, was I really got the opportunity to pull and feel my own whole brain come online, and also the connection to other people who were also doing what they were doing so beautifully to access whatever needed to happen. And I don't know, I actually had it felt like I had a day like that today a little bit, because I was like, I woke up like, I'm going to go skiing because we're getting to the end of ski season. And then I realized part of the desire to go, that's probably my character three, that was like, ooh, let's go to the mountain, let's enjoy this, you need to get into some flow.
Three must be like instant gratification.
I made a choice that I was going to go, I talked to you about it. So I gave myself that character three, the permission. But then as I started to live in that permission, I also realized the influence of character four was like, why don't you just imagine your day like skiing? Because there were a lot of other things that I wanted to get done. There were a lot of things that were on my list, character one list. But when I was doing them from just character one, I was not actually doing them. I had procrastinated on a few of those things. And
character two might have influenced that.
Yeah. And character two also was like, you don't ski now, you're going to lose the skiing. And so I just allowed things to giving myself more. I could still go up to the mountain, but why don't I do this? And these natural things just happened because that were just perfect. And I thought I'm amazed at it. I looked at my to-do list and all the things got checked off.
Wow.
And that rarely happens for me.
So I would say, and how you did it was quite not from that. Because for me, my character one, like I am like driven, we can get things done, boom. But it doesn't have much life in it.
Yeah.
It has that more Sarge. When we were interviewing Jill Bolte Taylor, she named my character one Sarge. I was born with the colonel, my dad, colonel. But it does have that energy versus the whole idea here is how can you actually bring your whole brain to the party, not get stuck in any one of these?
So character four can influence character one, and character three and two can do the emotional playing field together. I sort of think sometimes it's my character three could buddy up to character two. It's going to help it along when it sort of freaks out. And there are some things I should be afraid of. It was really icy up there today. I don't know that skiing would have been the best thing.
Right.
So maybe there's information in all of it. And even this, the ego, it is an important part of who we are. I mean, sometimes I'm coaching somebody, tone down the ego just a little bit, because that might be getting in your way. But other times it's like, no, maybe you do need to own your power and step up a little bit.
I think even you said tone down the one, I don't know if that's don't be angry sort of thing versus what, how could you bring your character for in like you did with the horses?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I know you want to get the promotion or the title, but remember why you're working for this company. Because like that whole purpose, I think that's definitely character four. Like, oh, we are changing humanity and that can bring so much more meaning.
Or I was thinking like even saying like your character, I mean, if I talk to someone, usually even someone who has a strong ego, it's not like they're really just wanting more. There's something else that they're needing. Yeah. Maybe it's validation. Maybe they need that's how they know they matter. And if there's a way to tap, I think character four comes into play when it's like those things that you're saying get you there may not be the things that have given you meaning and purpose. And if you actually pay attention to that, it might be easier to let your ego still, your ego can be fed by something that character four is offering you in it.
It's so this goes back to my ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics program, because what we talk about is becoming our own loving parent. If you didn't get the love, you're not going to change your parents or what you experienced, but really being there for those parts that get triggered that are like, this isn't fair, character two. Or, oh my God, I've got to get this done. And bringing like, okay, I'm here. You're not alone. We'll figure it out. Because that's really a version of character four being there for a character two or even a character one.
Yes. Anyway, I've enjoyed talking about it. And I love it. We came on and Krishna Marie was like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. But
I have to tell you, my character one is a little embarrassed about how I flubbed up the beginning. So still wanting that to be changed. I'm just saying.
I hear that. And what I would encourage you to recognize is that you came on strong and had some great insights, I think.
And I guess I would say for listeners out there, are you even aware of your different characters? It's a fun process to go through. Who is driving my bus right now? And it really is your brain real estate that gets activated. And are you able to actually, maybe you have a really strong character for, like Susan, I think this was even, you have a character for, you can connect to that side of yourself. And really your character ones often doesn't get enough play.
It's like, I really got through this weekend, I do. When character four has a great influence on character one, and when I can get them working together, I actually really appreciate the character one I have had that has really offered me some structure and order. Maybe it wasn't really consistent with what people were wanting me to do, but you know, I was able to do it. When I think of how I pulled Crazy, Cracked, Warm, and Deep together or something.
Her book.
Yep. And the pieces may not look the way someone else would do it, but that was definitely my character one stepping in to support that way of doing it.
Yeah.
With the influence of character four to say it's okay if it's different than somebody else's.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So see if you can identify your character one. We've named our characters. They have different values, different approaches to the world. And then even what Jill Bolte Taylor talks about, and you started to do work around this, Susan, is really creating a brain huddle, especially when you have a situation that you're struggling with. See if you can actually, as if you could turn towards character one, character two, character three, character four, and see what each of them is feeling about that situation or wanting or needing.
Yes. And if you need any help or support in this, feel free to reach out. We'd love to talk to you about it. And I'm getting excited because I'm thinking of different ways I'm going to bring this into our Mojo and other Equus work that's going to be coming online pretty soon.
Okay. You have a good week.
Well, thanks for joining us. We hope you found today's episode valuable. If you want to take some of what you've learned on today's episode to the next level, check out our new step-by-step, easy-to-use team kit to get your team from avoiding conflict to discovering the beauty in conflict.
Go to www.thriveinc.com/teamkit to learn more. That's www.thriveinc.com/teamkit.